Good afternoon. This is Croft Woodruff with another edition of Dynamic Health here on CFRO FM at 102.7 on the FM band and on cable frequencies throughout the Lower Mainland, Vancouver Island, the Central Interior, and Okanagan Valley. This is Co-op Radio for you people out there that want to be in the know, and the only way to be in the know is to stay tuned to CFRO. Well, we are waiting to contact today's guest. Hopefully he's going to remember that he's due to be on the air shortly. But if not, we've got lots to talk about. How about what you saw in last Sunday's province, the threat of a avian flu pandemic? We can all remember what happened a couple of years ago when things kind of shut down tourism, certainly in Toronto. Vancouver was affected. And of course, it was all blamed on avian flu coming out of China and I presume Vietnam.
Well, we can't hear that very well, so we're going to try another CD player and see if that works any better. But that's very poor quality, and we'll try that again right now. And that's not much better. We apologize for that. However, we'll carry on.
Good afternoon. This is Croft Woodruff with another edition of Dynamic Health here on CFRO FM at 102.7 on the FM band and on cable frequencies throughout the Lower Mainland, Vancouver Island, the Central Interior, and Okanagan Valley. This is Co-op Radio for you people out there that want to be in the know, and the only way to be in the know is to stay tuned to CFRO. Well, we are waiting to contact today's guest. Hopefully he's going to remember that he's due to be on the air shortly. But if not, we've got lots to talk about. How about what you saw in last Sunday's province, the threat of a avian flu pandemic? We can all remember what happened a couple of years ago when things kind of shut down tourism, certainly in Toronto. Vancouver was affected. And of course, it was all blamed on avian flu coming out of China and I presume Vietnam. And now, of course, the latest in what I would call a scampaign is this fear-mongering of a pandemic of avian flu. And of course, if anybody would like to participate in the program and discuss this, perhaps they might disagree with some of my comments. They're certainly welcome to join in, but please be aware that you will be preempted as soon as we contact our designated guest for today. And I just want to read this to you. Are we being stampeded into a pandemic? The announcement was made by Dr. Nancy Cox of the United States Centers for Disease Control, and according to articles that appeared in various media, including The Scotsman, Cox said that a global epidemic of bird flu would dwarf history's most infection disaster, which killed between 20 and 40 million people. The reference, of course, is to the Spanish flu at the end of World War I, which accordingly, experts say had to have been possibly caused by a bird virus jumping to humans. Of course, I always wondered why, if they're going to blame a bird virus, why would they be incubating vaccines in eggs and chick embryo? I mean, after all, these are birds, aren't they? Or proto-birds, in the case of the egg. Makes you really wonder what's going on here. And of course, the reasoning of the CDC statement goes on like this, that the influenza strain that killed 40, or has already killed 42, has a fatality rate of 76%, and the cases that have occurred so far have suggested. However, when they had the number of cases tabulated for the bird flu epidemic, this last year was it now? Worldwide, there's only about maybe 7,000 to 8,000 cases recorded, and something less than 700 deaths. Whereas in a normal flu year in the United States, there are something like 22 million emergency visits in hospitals, as well as the doctor's offices reporting flu-like symptoms. And the CDC, in a corrected mortality rate, originally they said 33,000 deaths attributed to the flu. In fact, what they say, if you dig into their files, is more like about 700 deaths. So you really have to wonder what's going on. I just feel that this is fear-mongering of the worst kind. And psychologically, you know, if you put a fear thought into the general population, it does have an immune-suppressing effect. And with people sharing the same environment, job, diet, other, you know, interpersonal relationships, you're bound to have many people come down with the same kind of symptoms, which they will designate as an epidemic. Well, we're going to go to line one, and line one, you're on the air.
How you doing there, Croft?
Well, this is our good friend, Dr. Cass Ingram.
Yeah, I agree with, you know, everything you're saying there, 100%. But I tell you, it's really disconcerting to me. Maybe these are the only people listening in the whole world that'll know the true story, your listeners. I mean, here you have a situation where in 1918, the people died who were vaccinated because the vaccinated people gave us the 1918 flu.
They're not telling us that, though, are they?
No, and here you have a situation where the people that are getting really sick in this country are vaccinated people that got vaccinated this year for the flu. And here you have a situation where the people who are getting sick this year have had contact with vaccinated people who are shedding on them. And so there's already bird flu in Canada, in the United States, from the flu vaccine. It's already here
because,
on a low level,
because,
mutated bird flu.
Because it was incubated, perhaps, in the chick embryo,
yeah,
and,
for
and
sure,
the eggs.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think of Shakespeare's Macbeth, and you have the three witches of Endor, you know, and what is it, Eye of Newt and Tongue of Toad, bubble,
true.
Toil and Trouble.
It's true. I tell you, I had a mother in Canada that had a baby on each hip, well, a two-year-old and a four-year-old, and she looked like she was going to die. She had turned yellow hepatitis. She had chicken flu hepatitis from the shedding of the vaccine from her two children who had been vaccinated for the flu vaccine. And they became shedding monsters and gave her a terrible, terrible infection, which was the most bizarre sick woman I have seen probably in 10 years. And she was a vaccination victim, my dear. So I agree with you that the CDC and the other organizations in what is a brazen attempt to make fools or to, you know, out of the people, in a brazen attempt to show you that you don't mean anything, that you're useless, you're just a body to be used for our purposes, has gone right back to the same old kitty and said, you know what? These people are sheep. They'll do whatever we tell them. You know, it was David Kessler, MD, who, former head of the FDA, who was fired or let go because he was digging into the kitty. You know that? He was stealing from his expense account.
Hmm.
Who said that on Larry King Live that, listen, don't you dare and make any decisions yourself. Listen to us. We'll tell you what you should do.
God, it sounds like a member of the Gestapo, you know, we'll decide if you need this, that, or the other thing,
yep.
And not to be a decision of your own.
Yep.
Well, what's going on in the United States military with this anthrax vaccine? We're getting reports of people that are suffering all kinds of horrible reactions and going into disability. And the worst part of it is neither the Pentagon or Big Pharma is willing to do for those loyal U.S. Troops what would be the right thing in terms of admit that they've created a monster, and they better look after these people they have turned into disability cases. You know,
well, they
it's
won't do anything for them. And you know what, people, if you're smart, you'll stay away from the poison needle.
Yeah.
You'll stay away. You won't buy into it. I had a mother today. She was all busted up about her kid. And it, could it be that bird flu? They're saying it's the bird flu. Could it be that? You know, and she left work.
Yeah.
I have a small staff, but she wouldn't go to work. She stayed at home. She rushed her kid to the hospital. You know, so it's already started to succeed. Now all you need is some sort of fake epidemic. Or a real one, a little thing that somebody created by, you know, the vaccine being spoiled, and you have four or five people that die, or a mother and her kid die in Connecticut or, you know, Saskatchewan, and then everybody's going to line up, Croft.
Yeah.
That'll be the end of modern civilization.
Well, how about this? You know, when you've got the government in collusion with Big Pharma, and they pass a law that the federal government, in this case in the United States, is not liable under the Federal Tort Claims Act for injuries to members of the armed forces sustained while on active duty. Further, disabled veterans are paid primarily by the Department of Veterans Affairs and or Social Security Disability. These structural barriers to accountability may help to explain the Pentagon's cavalier attitude towards their soldiers who question the anthrax vaccine safety. And what gets me is, haven't they now put another law in effect that you can't sue Big Pharma for an adverse reaction to their vaccines? Who then is going to be accountable?
Well, that's right. You know what? The best thing to do is to hurt them in the pocketbook. Okay?
But the government says you can't
sue. What you do, Croft, is real simple. And this is not to try to, you know, bankrupt anybody. It's just to save you guys from trouble. What you do is you just don't buy poison. Like, if I told you that I have rat poison in a bottle, would you buy it and eat it?
So
now I'm hereby telling you that Susan Dolan approved that the flu vaccine was useless, that Noel Simonson at the NIH last month said that it didn't work at all for the elderly. So here you have a needle that causes side effects, and it's common for the Canadian public to line up for this needle, who two top researchers, one at the National Institutes of Health, the other at a children's hospital in Denver, Croft, said it doesn't do anything. So if you know it doesn't do anything, are you going to go get it? I want to hear from listeners who say, you know what, I'm going to get it anyway, even though it doesn't do anything, even though the science shows it doesn't do anything, even though Feudenberg has shown that it increases the risk for Alzheimer's tenfold, even though Susan Dolan found and others that people were dying in the emergency room, babies, kids, 6-month-olds, 12-month-olds, 2-year-olds from the flu vaccine, even so, and even though the government is getting grants to promote the drug companies, I'm going to take my Vioxx, my Celebrex, my Bextra, my vaccine for the flu anyway. I want to hear from people that feel that way. But this show's all about getting you informed about the fact that the flu vaccine doesn't have any efficacy, and also to let you know that the bird flu hype came on the same day that it was announced that there are 2 million doses of bird flu in the United States to be experimented on and the American public. This is not a conspiracy. This is from the CDC, from the NIH, from the ABC News, right there. 2 million doses in the United States at Rochester, New York, New York City. They're going to experiment on people with experimental genetically engineered bird flu vaccine.
Well, within the last 3 months, there have been reports from 3 separate labs, I presume it is, where they're trying to develop the bird flu vaccine, and it's failed. It's caused liver damage in the test animals.
Oh, it's caused the liver damage.
Yeah, it causes liver damage. And the point is that...
But they're testing people anyway, as I understand it, Croft, at this time. There's 2 million vial doses in the United States. They're going to go ahead and test it on humans. But did you hear differently?
Well, this is a virus that, by the way, that they're not even sure that it is the flu virus.
No, they don't know. But we do know that Tyson has a number of factories in the Orient where they reprocess the render chicken guts and turn it into feed. So one wonders, we could be a mad cow of chickens, is what we're seeing. And that would damage the kidneys and damage the liver and damage the brain, and that's why you're seeing these kids that turn somnolent and their brain goes out and then they die. You know, they just die in their sleep.
Yeah, sudden infant death syndrome.
Yeah, so, here's the bottom line. By the way, that's a beautiful thing. Sudden infant death could be like a mad chicken syndrome from the chicken virus or the other animal matter used for the virus. Beautiful thought.
Well, what?
We actually took the real avian flu virus and slaughtered it in tissue culture with the oregano and with the oil of oregano, the super strength. That was done about a month ago.
Yeah, this will be at least the second experiment I'm aware of where they have proven that the cavercol in the oil of oregano has powerful antibiotic activity, antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, anti-yeast.
Sure, and it's a biblical remedy, and the Prophet Muhammad said it's great for colds. We took it against colds. It killed the cold virus 100%. Influenza 99.9, and the bird flu was tougher. They had to give a lot of the oregano and the oregano, high carvacrol material, but also edible spice, and it completely disabled, destroyed, and the virus refused to regrow. There was no way that any of these viruses would regrow. They were dead, they were finished, even at 99% still, that last 1% didn't want anything to do with us. And that was only one dose in 20 minutes. Another dose 20 minutes later finishes the last little teeny bit. Now, this didn't work with the commercial oregano crop that's become popular in British Columbia and Western Canada, the imitation stuff that is put out by the non-scientific people. This only works with the spice oil.
Mm-hmm.
So there are only two products, and I think you must have a number, if we can give it out at some point in the show, where people can reference back, and that is, you want the oregano, the P73 material, and you want the oregano, just not, it's not commercial, it's just, this is the stuff we tested. So if you're going to take my advice, make sure you follow it all the way through. That's all.
My guest is Dr. Cass Ingram. He is a doctor of osteopathy. He's phoning from Buffalo Grove, Illinois, and he's certainly outspoken on these issues of natural healing. He's author of the book The Cure is in the Cupboard. He's also author of the book,
Natural Cures for Killer Germs is the latest
That's
one.
That's your latest
crop.
One, yeah. We've got it in the shop, by the way, and also you've also got one regarding a healthy lifestyle, too.
Yeah, nutrition tests for better health, how you can test yourself to find out, Croft, exactly what you're deficient in, your vitamins, your minerals, your enzymes, your amino acids, your dry skin, your brittle nails, your nail problems, your body conformation problems, your weight gain problems, your high cholesterol, your fatigue, your exhaustion, your mental syndromes, the tiredness, the weakness, the weak muscles, the leg cramps, the irritability, the anxiety, all of that's covered. But I am just beside myself at the thought that Canadians are going to line up for a mandatory bird flu vaccine, and that they would have bought into fear, and it will cause so much illness in Canada.
Well, and fortunately, so far, neither Parliament nor the provincial legislatures across this country have passed any legislation or even given any thought to mandatory vaccinations, although I think that is, from all appearances, is heading your way in the United States with their fear of a pandemic of the avian flu, that they would make it mandatory. And at the same time, I think your Senate majority leader is a Dr. Frist.
He's got connections through his HMO corporation.
Yeah, and he's also a surgeon of sorts.
He's a drug company representative.
And they're shielding the drug companies from liability, from not only damage from their drugs like Vioxx and Celebrex and the statin drugs and all that, but also the vaccines.
Right, because of the mercury-induced autism that Eli Lilly flexed its muscles and made it. But Leahy and others are attempting to reverse it. And Mothers for Against Vaccinations apparently have put such pressure on the government that they've backed down on some issues. But the bottom line is, people, I don't want to see, you need to avoid getting sicker than you already are. Do you ever go to a doctor to get worse? You go to get better. And so in order to, you know, avoid this, it's a good idea, Croft, that they take, you know, and keep their immune system high so they don't have the disaster, so they don't have to rush their kids down, for the kids, for themselves, to take a few drops of the oregano a day, to take an oregano every day, for example, to take both of them so that they are strong. Because I've been staying strong, but most of the people around me have went down at least once this winter. So, I mean, and if people start getting sick and panicking and rushing to the hospital, it just aggravates the whole disease process, you know. So, yes, politically there's some corruption, but there is something you can do about it so you don't fall into it. And, you know, so that you don't feel, oh, my God, my Johnny's going to die. I got to do something. You know, if you have to at that point, you do. But why not prevent it, you know?
But then you've got these bureaucrats who, you know, like that Gestapo lieutenant who says that we will decide what you can do or not do. And they're trying to restrict our availability of these kinds of products, whether it's
another movement afoot by the drug cartel that says we've got to crush the natural medicine people once and for all. That is definitely going on, that attempt. So basically, Croft, what kind of a precipice are we at? You guys are the power, your listeners. You people have to help. You go out and buy something natural that works. You stop spending your money for all these synthetic pills, and you stop lining up for vaccines because they don't do anything. You know, that's what the data is showing.
Yeah. By the admission of the Centers for Disease Control themselves, it was a normal flu year, wasn't it?
It was better than normal, and there was no vaccine down here.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that they had to ban the British-produced vaccine because it was contaminated. You know, this is what...
With a biogerm, Croft. Yeah. I don't know if... Serratia marcescens is a biological agent of all things.
In other words, genetically produced.
Of course.
Biotech industry at work. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
isn't the anthrax vaccine also one of these biogenetic affairs?
Biogerm. What happened, Croft, was the Biogen, the criminal organization, or whoever it was, Biothrax, whatever it is, they got a buddy deal to sell their slop.
Oh, we know that. It went into Canada. And the Department of National Defense medical officers knew the vaccine was contaminated with mold and other filth. And what is even, well, I mean, that was bad enough. But the vaccine had expired, so they changed the expiry dates.
The date, God help us.
Yeah, this was drawn to the attention of our brain-dead politicians in Ottawa. Nothing has ever been done to bring these people to account. It's unbelievable. You know.
Criminal, beyond criminal. And there are a lot of criminals, Monsanto being a big one. Just to add the fuel to the fire, did you hear what Monsanto was trying to do in Iraq?
Yeah.
Confiscating the Iraqi people's native seeds.
Well, there was a conference in Bangkok, Thailand, where Canadian bureaucrats, I guess to do with Agriculture Canada, were proposing a Terminator seed, so that you'd have seeds from the current crop, but if you save them, they would not germinate for the next crop.
Croft, we follow the money, and we find out that those crats, are on the pay.
Yeah.
They're getting the slush money on the side, and there's no doubt about it.
No,
they're not going all the way to Bangkok to just for the fun of it. It's their wife or their brother or something. You know what? If you couldn't make money in the world, you became a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
And so they're getting the money.
Yeah, in the meantime, we're
ruining the world. And ruining your lives.
And rooting out the the money wasting that's going on in other areas that has less to do with human life than just plain political boondoggling.
I tell you, anybody that would invest in a genetically engineered company in Canada is investing in your own demise. The monarch butterfly is on its way out. The honeybee is on its way out. The human beings are dropping dead like flies. I'm tracing that to genetically engineered corn and soy.
Yeah.
We're having young people die of sudden shock reactions, and I am tracing it to that. So, Croft, if a person's smart, they'll just use their buying power to show the industry to change.
You are listening to CFRO Co-op Radio here in Vancouver at 102.7 megahertz on the FM band. We're also available on cable frequencies throughout the Lower Mainland, Vancouver Island, the Central Tier, and the Okanagan Valley. And you can also find us streaming on the internet at coopradio.org. I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, it's right. And so there it is. Now, I want to know, with someone like yourself, Dr. Cass, you are so much involved in the therapeutic effects of these essential oils, such as the oil of oregano, oil of myrtle, oil of rosemary, and so on. What impact will an organization like CODEC, out of the World Health Organization, have on our ability to continue
I don't
to
think
access
that the
these
spice oils, Croft, can be legislated against. We have a huge department that is well aware that we would have them also. You know how they did the Vioxx and said Vioxx has to go back, it's unfair trade? They used a clause of unfair trade. If you're going to let Celebrex stay, then you got to have Vioxx back.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same thing. Then you've got to get rid of the pizza sauce, all the pizza parlors, all the Mexican food, all the chili. All of it goes out.
What about the synthetic sweeteners like aspartame? Because they're unfair competition to the sugar industry, maybe?
That's right. So we're going to have to go and do a mass legal challenge that cannot be resisted of discrimination, you know. These are spice oils. The fact that they kill, you know, the fact that honey kills germs doesn't mean you have to label honey as a medicine. What are you going to do, label God as, a medicine? You know, and that you have to have a special contract with the drug company to talk to him? He told you in the Bible to use honey and milk. He told everybody in the Quran that honey is a medicine. He told people through the Prophet Muhammad to use oregano for colds, for Jesus to heal the sick and the blind. What's the matter with you people? You know, if you're going to spend your time, money following your tail, you're finished. Put yourself out on the curb. You're done. You know?
Well, we're all motivated by fear, aren't we? Are activated by fear, and of course, motivated
die,
by
Croft.
Profit.
We're going to all die. And when you die, you're going to go somewhere. You're not going to be the end in the dust there. I've seen it too many times. The soul escapes. You can't even see. You turn your back on the patient, you know, they're dying, and then in the hospital you turn your back and it's gone.
You know, I've heard, speaking of people dying and the soul escaping, I've heard it said that they've actually had people who were in the throes of death, you know, they were gasping their last breath, on a scale, and when they were gone, their body actually weighed a little lighter?
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's a heavy divine essence, a holy essence in all of us, in the beautiful kitty cats and the dogs. Everybody's got it. But you can repress that, or you can cultivate it. But if you're sick, Croft, you don't even understand it. You're so full of pain and sickness. And the drug companies repress that with their medications. And you know what? If you guys out there are sick and you can't feel your spirit, I was there. You could have prayed over me. You could have given me yoga and massage. And it wasn't until I found the oregano that I got better. So I'm not saying that we're going to heal you with a wand. I appreciate that you need the science. I'm just telling you. To be spiritually powerful, you also need to be physically powerful.
You know, one of the things that really makes me laugh, Dr. Cass, is that, you know, when you come up with these evidence of the how these herbs or these herbs are working, or vitamins or whatever, it's dismissed as anecdotal. Yet, you as a physician, when you are interviewing a patient, the patient's telling you what his or her problem is, Isn't that anecdotal?
Well, you know what? That's right. But, you know, I think it is anecdotal. Marcia Engel said it right, Croft, in her book. See, it's one thing for somebody to listen to you or me. We've been in the health food business a long time. We're healthy. We're strong. We're taking some herbs. It's helping us. We don't have heart disease, and we're not just getting ready to die of diabetes. And when somebody like Marcia Engel, because you could say we're biased, but Marcia Engel, who's the head editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine for 15 years, complete editor-in-chief, top lady in her field, writes a book, says the truth about the drug companies, in the book says, you know what? There is no science to the modern drugs. They're based on hype. So if you want to talk about anecdote, they don't even have an anecdote. The only anecdote you have is the obituary. Okay? I have compelling proof, people. I don't care whether you buy anything or not. I'm just telling you what not to buy. I have proof to show you that natural medicines can save your life, will save your life, are saving your life. Period. Human trials, animal trials, tissue culture, test tube work. We just destroyed MRSA with the spray. Clay, I don't know if you're, Croft, I don't know if you've ever used a Germacleanse.
No.
Fantastic material. Fantastic material. Great to use along with oil of oregano and the regicin. We put it in with MRSA. It killed it. It's finished. So you could use it around your house. You could use it in the restroom. You could take it with you on a trip. You could not get MRSA.
You know, getting back to vaccines, and of course there's, as you know, a whole bureaucracy and industry built up around these things to hype them and promote them and distribute them and patent them, of course. We're getting reports from veterinarians that they're seeing vaccine reactions in their animals. They're seeing tumors growing at the site of where the animal has been vaccinated.
SV40, my dear, SV40, simian virus 40, and other simian viruses, as well as, avian carcinoma virus, my dear. And don't forget the work of Virginia Livingston Stevens, Wheeler, which we both know. In California, where she proved categorically that commercial chicken egg, a particularly liver, has a tumorigenic virus in it, without doubt.
That was Cryptococcus, wasn't that it?
It's some kind of a pleomorph, huh?
Yeah.
It's a Cryptococcus is a fungal, bacterial kind of in between, but it's pleomorphic, like Cryptococcus, yeah. And they're killing us, people. I'm not about to be killed. I'm just not going to do it. Now, you want to do it, you go. Get lined up, get your shot. Get your bird flu right in your arm. I'm going to pass on it.
Speaking of that, let's get some calls in here. I'm Croft Woodruff. The program is Dynamic Health on CFRO-FM at 102.7 on the FM band. We do have to do these station checks. And my guest is Dr. Cass Ingram. He is an osteopathic physician, a doctor of osteopathy. He's on the line from Buffalo Grove, Illinois, and he's a recognized world expert in the therapeutic value, the healing value of these essential oils. And of course, one of the most prominent ones that he talks about is oil of oregano, which has a proven content of cavercol, which is the active factor that is so powerful and antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-yeast.
And Croft, one more thing. We found that the terpenes were critical. And so a general crude spice oil, that in the carvacrol is critical too, but as long as it's 50% plus, but a general crude spice oil we found worked better than a lot of the more synthetic, cheaper oregano oils that boast for huge carvacrol content. So carvacrol plus the terpenes makes an irresistible poison to germs. So, you know, it's the crude extract again that's coming and winning to help us out.
Okay, Dr. Cass, we do have some calls coming in here. Please stand by. I have to put you on hold because of the way, the nature of this phone board. Let's see, line two, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Two things. First, just a quick announcement. Since you're talking about vaccines, there is going to be a repeat of a presentation called The Untold Consequences Regarding Vaccination. Excellent, excellent presentation. It was on February 23rd. It's repeating Thursday, March 10th. People should get out there, especially if you have kids, to 2150 Maple Street near Maple and 6th Avenue. Sue Kelly really knows her stuff. She intimidates the vaccine officials because they simply cannot debate her. And that's at 7:30 on March 10th. You can also phone 327-9140, 327-9140 for info, and it's $8. My question to the doctor is, we have been fed the myth that the unvaccinated are a threat to the vaccinated, whereas in fact it's the other way around. Can he elaborate how vaccinated people, vaccinated for the flu or whatever it is, are a threat to those of us who aren't vaccinated? As a teacher, this is particularly of concern to me, and I will hang up and listen to his answer.
Go ahead.
Vaccinated is the threat, and that happened in the polio vaccine where the vaccinated gave polio to the unvaccinated home people. You know, a father got it from the vaccinated child. Or if a vaccinated child entered into a private school, that happened in the 70s, 170 kids got polio from the vaccinated. So the unvaccinated were victims, and some of the vaccinated even got it. But what happens is this. You shoot the animal vaccine into the person, and it becomes a chimera. You know, we know that. It's a hybrid. It becomes a hybrid of a humanoid, part pig, perhaps, certainly part avian in the case of the, you know. So it becomes part pork, part avian, and part human. And that's a fatal combination. That's what's happening right now. Then that person develops some immunity to it, and then they shed the virus to you, and it could kill you. It might kill them too, but they could kill you because of their ignorance, their fears. You could be the victim.
Well, I remember a case out of Seattle where there was a woman whose baby had been vaccinated, and she actually picked up the shedding virus from changing the baby's diapers.
Exactly.
And came down with polio herself.
Exactly. Shedding in the stool is a little known issue. So, therefore, things like the oregano oil, the germicleanse, you got to get that crop, make that available to people somehow. The oregano by mouth, the oil of oregano rubbed on the spine, rubbed on the forehead. These kinds of things, very simple. But make sure, I'm going to stress, I know it's non-commercial, I have no choice because we've got the data to show that there's some fraudulent material that is not safe for babies. So you don't do P70, no, that's the fake. You do P73 when it comes to oil. You must. Or maybe Croft can help you with some information. Now, back to your question. Shedding through the air, through the nose, shedding through the mouth, up to 60 days. Now, usually with the flu vaccine, it's usually within 3-4 weeks maximum, usually 2 weeks. So that's what's going on.
Okay, let's take some more calls here.
You know what? I spray this germicleanse. I missed the air everywhere with it. It killed MRSA. What's the flu vaccine is dead.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to take some more calls here. I'll put you on hold again, Cass. Thank you. And where are we here? We have line 2. You're on the air.
Hello, Croft. Last night I was listening to As It Happens, and a spokesman from the World Health Organization was interviewed on bird flu. And he was asked, were there any definite cases of transmission from human to human? And he said the only case they had not been able to verify because the victim had been cremated before they could test her. So it was a young woman who worked in a chicken, you know, production place. This is in Vietnam, and her aunt and her mother had to travel in order to see her, and they got sick afterwards. It was never confirmed that any of the three of them had bird flu. It was all supposition. The other thing, too, is that while the chicken-rearing practices are different in Vietnam than in Thailand, one of the things they're overlooking is how terribly poisoned the land of Vietnam was 30 years ago and still is, because 2,4-D doesn't break down in the soil. They used Agent Orange all over the place.
Yeah, I wonder who got a nice sum of money for telling the public that it was perfectly safe.
Well, that's another story.
Okay, well, let Dr. Cass answer. Hello, Dr.
Cass. I can't. How can I add to this brilliant exposition, our dear lady? She brought up a good point that the dioxin levels, the 2,4-D levels in the chicken feed, in the chicken, are making the chicken's immune system sick, then they're vulnerable to infections. What's happening, obviously, most commonly there is if you're butchering a chicken and you prick your finger, or if you're in a cockfight and the blood splatters on your face. We don't really have a lot of cockfighting in Canada. We don't have any pigs and chickens and ducks in our basements, usually. Yes, if you have a pig in your house, you're more vulnerable. If you're a pig farmer, you're more vulnerable. If you're a chicken farmer, you're more vulnerable to certain of these types of agents. But I do agree 100% with the caller. This is completely blown out of proportion. We will get it if we are mass vaccinated. If we are not mass vaccinated, then we can handle, if there are a few people from Thailand or from Vietnam that happen to be sick and they come on an airplane, we can quarantine them, we can figure it out. We don't need a mass vaccination.
We've got more calls, and the number to call is 684-7561, and please be patient because we've only got two lines, and one of them is tied up with, of course, our guest, Dr. Cass Ingram. Stand by, Cass, and we'll pick up line two. Okay, whoops, I don't want to lose him. Hold on, Cass, I'll put you on hold. There we are, now we got it. Hello, line two, you're on the air.
Hi, this is a great guest lecturer you have. He lives down there in the homeland of Monsanto, who just bought Seminus Seed Corporation, which supplies about half of the table foods of the United States. Anyway, and they have an aggressive policy of privatizing the right to grow foods.
In other words, they're making it illegal for, or lobbying governments to make it illegal for farmers or gardeners to save their seeds for next year's crop.
Yes, even worse than that, they come in and they assume that since they didn't sell you these seeds, they must be illegal. And they take out whole either fields or greenhouses of substances, and then they take years to get around to compensating the farmer, of course.
Okay.
But in the meantime, Seminus is a foods people, and they specialize in peas, beans, and green stuff. Anyway,
things that you would be growing.
I think it's devastating.
Things you would be growing in your own garden. We'll let Dr. Cass respond.
Your own garden.
Yeah, just stand by. We'll let Dr. Cass respond. Hi, Dr. Cass.
Croft.
Yes.
I would like the caller to email me with all that information at droregano@aol.com, droregano@aol.com, and I'll try to go national with that. Monsanto is the devil. That's Satan in St. Louis. They are criminals. They are thugs. Someone should ask them, what do you believe in, any kind of a future life or accountability, and you'll find that they're atheists or whatever they are. The point is well taken. You Canadians, if you know anybody that owns stock in Monsanto, be sure to tell them that thank you very much for paying for the death of the world.
Yes, well, what Monsanto has done, thanks to Rumsfeld and company, this new constitution that they've foisted on Iraq, I don't know what was wrong with the good old U.S. Constitution, but I guess they're not using it anymore. So, but in any case, they've written into this Iraqi constitution that Iraqi farmers do not have the right to save their own seeds for next year's crop. Something like 5,000 or 6,000 years of history of farming in the cradle of civilization, as it was known, down the tubes.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, Monsanto needs to hear from you by your buying power. You stop buying soybeans in terms of, the commercial finished goods like soy milk, unless it's 100% organic. You stop buying anything made with corn, anything, unless it's 150% organic.
Same with the canola oil.
You completely prohibit the consumption of canola oil and you let the health food store owner that whatever you've got with canola oil on it, I'm not buying it. And that's it, people. Those are the three big criminal productions. And you got to do it. Or you're finished. You're out. Your grandkids are done. I'm telling you, I'm tracing sudden death in 20-year-olds.
We're going to take some more calls, Cass. I have to put you back on hold. Caller, thank you very much for the call. That line is open at 604-684-7561. You want to join in the program and contribute. You've got questions or comments. My guest, Dr. Cass Ingram, he is a doctor of osteopathy. He, in fact, is a doctor in the business of helping people to heal themselves. That's the best business of all in terms of medical practice. And we will now take up line two. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Why is the doctor trashing atheism? I am an atheist. I think I live a moral life. I live vegan. I avoid bad foods that have pesticides in them. I don't see also why he would include religion in any kind of a scientific explanation of the physical universe, such as health. I'm deeply disturbed by that.
Okay, we're going to let Dr. Cass Ingram respond to that. Please stand by. Go ahead, Cass.
Yeah, sure. A lack of feeling of responsibility for accountability is the doing in of the civilization. And you will find, you may not believe in it, that the end of our race will be the feeling of a lack of accountability to the divine being. And that's what Monsanto represents. They feel no obligation whatsoever for anything other than their material accumulations in this life, and it has directly everything to do with their personal beliefs. Now, it may not be true of the gentleman that called. That's not a judgment call for him. It's definitely true of these corporations who have no interest in serving a higher power for their, for their benefit, for the benefit of the rest of the people. And that's costing all of us. This is no attack against one person. It's costing the human race. So if the caller is a humanist, you'll understand that by feeling no accountability whatsoever to a divine judgment, that's what's hurting the human race right now.
And aren't we all accountable for not doing anything about it?
We are. And by feeling that accountability, well, I've done a lot of good by my feeling. I feel I'm accountable. And so because of that, I've come out and said these things. See, my head's on the butcher block right now. But I'm willing to, because I know I'm going to face my Creator. I know I can see the soul escape in people. So for the caller, just so we can relate to you, it's not an attack against you. It's an attack against the system of refusal to have any accountability for what we do on the planet.
604-684-7561. There is a line open if you wish to participate in the program. This is your opportunity. If the line gets busy, keep on trying. We'll try and take as many calls as we can in the next 15 minutes of this show. My guest is Dr. Cass Ingram. He is a doctor of osteopathy. He's on the line from Buffalo Grove, Illinois. He's certainly an expert in the field of essential oils and their healing factors. And, of course, you are listening to CFRO-FM, Co-op Radio, here in Vancouver. And, of course, as you're finding out, when you listen to CFRO, you will be in the know. Let's go to line two. Oh, I've got to make sure I've got Cass on hold here. And line two, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Croft. How are you doing today?
Fine. Go ahead, please.
Do you read Sunday's Province, by any chance?
Are you talking about the pandemic?
Pandemic, I could not believe the fear-mongering there and the scare tactics to get people to line up to use the vaccines. It was the biggest piece of propaganda garbage I've ever read in my life.
Well, I don't know if I'm the first, but I've coined this word, scam pain, is what it is. It's a scam pain. That's what it is, based on fear-mongering. Because, remember the avian flu last year?
Yes.
Worldwide, they had 7,000 or so cases, 8,000 to 7,000 cases, according to the World Health Organization. There were, again, according to their records, something like around 700-odd deaths. Now, in any given flu year in the United States, they'll report about 22 million. It's 22 million emergency hospital appearances, as well as in doctor's offices, with symptoms of flu. And the CDC, deep in their records, they'll say, they say 33,000 deaths. Not so. It's only about less than 700 deaths in any given flu year. So you can tell that this is one of the biggest fear-mongering campaigns to get people to line up for their shots. I'm going to let Dr. Cass pick up on this. And
thank you. I'll go back to my radio.
Okay, thank you very much. And Dr. Cass, you're back on.
I agree with your intelligent caller here that you need to get me that article somehow, droregano@aol.com. And, Croft, what's going on is that the oligarchic financiers own the media. So for whatever reason, they're trying to salvage the vaccine industry. And this is the most obvious, dramatic, you know, disease that you can represent. Nobody bought the smallpox thing. Remember, they tried to vaccinate in the United States about 2 million people with that. That died.
Yeah, there were too many people dying from the vaccine. That's why
exactly,
it died.
Exactly. I got a call, by the way, when I was saying that the New England Journal of Medicine states that it is illogical to mass vaccinate against an extinct disease, and that the only time you should do it is if there's an outbreak in New York, you do concentric vaccination. So I explained in detail. I wasn't being dramatic or, you know, bashing vaccine. And I did this on three national radio shows. While I was doing the explanation of why it's not medically indicated to line up for this, as it isn't for the bird flu, unless you have chickens and ducks and pigs, and even then it's probably not, in your house, all right? I got a call. The guy said, if what you say gets popularized, this is like a terrorism, and it would ruin the campaign. I said, do you happen to be from Washington, D.C.? Click.
Exactly. Well, here's something else that nobody ever thinks about, and every once in a while I bring it up, but it doesn't seem to fly very far. Why is it that vaccine manufacturers cannot get any liability insurance if their vaccine harms or kills somebody?
Well, nobody will insure them, because all the insurers know that tumors and lymphoma and, you know, sudden death and SIDS and diabetes and autism and
paralysis.
Autism alone would bankrupt any insurance company.
Yeah, and so that's why they're doing such a rear guard.
Got it offshore. They stick it in Britain or Ireland or Yugoslavia, you know.
Yeah, well, we have a situation now where the Canadian Pediatric Society is setting up some kind of oversight or education program on shaken baby syndrome. And I just find it laughable because looking at the Alan Yurko case in Florida that was recently settled out of court because the prosecution saw that their whole case was falling apart, that indeed Alan Yurko's baby was not killed by shaken baby syndrome, but was killed by vaccine damage.
So they settled out of court.
Yeah, plea bargain.
Oh, and your caller brings up a very good point that there's big fear-mongering going on because they own that particular media. You know, you just got to tell as many people that this is. I have somebody in my office. Somehow I got to educate. She thinks that we landed on the moon and that we landed on Mars. I don't know. You know, I'm sorry to go there, but there's a lot of stuff. You know, she thinks that John F. Kennedy was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald. What am I going to do with her? So, you know, that's the sheeple. But all you can do is try to share this with your friends. Maybe, you know, cut a tape of this, share it. Heck, I'll do everything I can for you.
You know, there's another issue I'd like to get in with you sometime, Cass, and this business of HIV and AIDS, because, you know, what gets me is that if there is a virus, and it seems that nobody's been able to find a virus, all they see is antibodies, they haven't got a vaccine, and nobody's developed a vaccine, obviously, because there's been no Nobel Prize issued.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And how can you say that because somebody's got... how many different infections a person may have, and they describe it as AIDS, and they don't even have to be HIV positive.
Right, but, you know, and this whole AIDS thing has to be covered. I mean, it's just like Lyme. You know, there are 4, 5, 15, 20 different parasites that these Lyme people are getting that we know of. They're septic. An AIDS person is septic. I mean, it's a big, huge thing we have to cover. But, I mean, bottom line is at least people know that this vaccine push for the bird flu is something you don't want to get, that it's not based on good science or good epidemiology, that the risks for you to develop the kind of bird flu that has killed the 40 or so Vietnamese are minimal, and that you will get sick if 98% of the Canadian public is vaccinated with an experimental vaccine. Then you'd better watch yourself.
Well, I can remind people of the work of, Dr. Robert Simpson of Rutgers University. He told way back in the 1970s, middle 1970s, an American Cancer Society science writer seminar that with these vaccines we are seeding into the population these retroviruses that cause all of these plagues that we're now faced with.
There's no doubt. You know, you have it in Natural Cures for Killer Germs, the documentation of the SV40 virus, which, Italian investigators found that 50% of Canadians and Americans, have a pleasant virus in their testes. It's a monkey virus. So, Croft, one of the two of us has it. You know, half of the listeners have it. 25% of all Canadians have it in their blood. This is a virus strictly from one vaccine. Polio sugar cube.
Well, what gets me is that apparently millions of monkeys were sacrificed to manufacture this polio vaccine, so they almost wiped out an entire species, and as you say, the CDC admitted the vaccine was the only cause of polio in the U.S. The SV40 is showing up in the tumors of people of that generation that received the vaccine, so where do we get off at?
Unbelievable. And, well, I've been doing a purge, Croft, for SV40 victims, which are about half of all Canadians. I've been using juice of oregano, wild oregano water, juice of oregano, oil and oregano, and I've been getting them back on their feet. And I've even had some. I don't want to make any claims, but I've actually got the CAT scans. I've even had some cancers die.
What about this fibromyalgia business? This
Vaccine-induced in most cases. Yeah. Chronic fatigue, vaccine-induced in most cases. Autism is a vaccine-induced disease. Multiple sclerosis is largely vaccination. It was Richard Rhodes and his... You know what autism is, Croft? It's mini mad cow.
Yeah, well, they've short-circuited the nervous system with things like mercury and aluminum salts.
That opens up the blood-brain barrier, and then the monkey viruses and the mycoplasmas and the other simian viruses and the other herpetogenic viruses
get into the brain
right through from the vaccine.
Right into the brain. You got it.
Into the brain. And that's what it is. It's an infectious disease of the brain. It's a low-level encephalitis, and that's what these kids have. And that's what you've got to treat, and then you'll get them well.
Talk about the poisoned needle and murder by injection, and it is premeditated murder.
It is premeditated murder because the government knows it's killing people. They've got the data. They've got the vaccine reporting system. They know it's murderous.
And the point that I wanted to make about the Canadian Pediatric Society setting up this education on shaken baby syndrome is this. They are in a conflict of interest because they are promoting vaccines that actually contribute to symptoms that in many cases are mistaken for shaken baby syndrome.
Right,
and the baby's
true.
Death.
You bring that up very valuably. SIDS and shaken baby, though sleeping on the stomach didn't help, were primarily vaccine-induced diseases. So is juvenile diabetes. So is thyroid problems. Did you hear about the thyroid study that was done, Croft?
No, I haven't.
They found that in precancerous or cancerous goiters, or anything in the thyroid that's like precancerous or cancerous like cysts, 100% of the test patients had simian virus 40 infecting the thyroid gland.
Wonderful.
God help us. God help us. It means that the virus is being transmitted through the sperm into everybody, through the ovum. And the latest data is compelling and diabolical, and that is that not just kidneys were used, Croft, when they made the polio vaccine, but they ground up the testicles of the monkeys and grew the vaccine, so we all have monkey testicle protein in our blood, in our organs, in our glands.
Wonderful. Let's take one more call. Please stand by, Cass, and we go to line two. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you so much for doing this work and sharing this information. I have just four points. Actually, there are questions. One is that you had mentioned the editor in the New England Journal of Medicine who I'd like to have that reference. The second thing is the three things that you had asked to cut out, one of them being canola oil. The fourth thing I'd like to know is any advice for smokers who want to quit. And the last thing, comments about alkaline body pH and cancer. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, caller. And we'll take Cass on the line here. Go ahead, Cass.
Okay, alkaline is not super, super important. It's the type of food that you eat. For example, Budwig is using flaxseed oil and you know, sesame oil and quark and yogurt to cure cancer. And yogurt's very acidic. So with cancer, it's not so much to push to the alkaline. It's the type of food. You don't want to be too alkaline. You want a bit of acidic food to get the stomach acid to make hydrochloric acid to kill the parasites and the fungi. So be careful about, you know, you want to do the vegetation and lots of it, but you also want some acidic foods to keep the stomach acid functioning. Now, with the smokers, I have had fantastic results with the Seregonol that you have. Just putting 5 drops under the tongue or 3 drops every time there's a craving, every time. I've saved a lot of lives with that, and the juice of oregano, those combination, maybe a bit of royal jelly.
Repeat the Marcia Angel reference, the gentleman regarding...
The Marcia Angel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies. The Truth About the Drug Companies by Marcia Angel, A-N-G-E-L-L. And then if you want the reference of the New England Journal of Medicine relative to the smallpox, then you email me. It may be in my book, Natural Cures for Killer Germs, but you email me to the droregano@aol.com. And as a courtesy to Croft, I don't normally do it, but as a courtesy to Croft, I'll answer all questions that come in on that site within a couple weeks. droregano@aol.com.
Thank you very much, Cash, for this, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My guest, Cass Ingram, online from Buffalo Grove, Illinois, an expert certainly on essential oils. I'm Croft Woodruff. Thank you all for listening and for those who joined in the program. An extra special thanks. And we'll be back this week at 1 o'clock with more on dynamic health and really the politics of medicine and big money, big time. There's lots to learn, and I'm learning just as much as you are, and I hope you will stay tuned. Wishing you all a very pleasant good afternoon, and try and stay healthy.